BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is Scott Mills Daily for Tuesday. 24 years at the top end is back. Chris has been on his most exotic holiday ever to Bali and tells us all about it in the latest edition. Charlie Sloth plays Real or No Real because it's Fat Tuesday. Ah! Innuendo Bingo with Jessie J. She got an absolute soaking, which she was not expecting at all. The video is on the Radio 1 YouTube channel. Make it your mission to watch it tonight. Scott Mills, Radio 1. All right, Chris?
All right.
Now, today's show has got potential to be one of the best in a while, do you think?
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it today. I'm very excited about this Jessie J innuendo bingo.
I am as well. So, how are you thinking you're going to play this?
Well, it's my first one back. I mean, since Bali, so I really want to go for it today. I'm really keen to make this a wet one.
Okay.
Is she, though? That's the question.
I don't know. She's never played it before, and she's quite a famous.
Hmm. I mean, we have to assume she's seen a video of this at some point.
I
mean,
I really hope so,
because if not, this is going to be massively awkward, and we may have a walkout.
We do ask them to watch the videos before, but sometimes they're not told that, so I don't know. Jessie J at 1:45 on Innuendo Bingo. Also, it's Fat Tuesday, so Charlie Sloth will be on a bit later on. That's at 3:40. And the return of 24 Years at the Tap End, Bali Special, with you at about 2:45.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Jessie J is about to play Innuendo Bingo. You can watch in a minute. I will... Hi, love! Come on in.
Hello.
You're right, sorry, last minute.
I'm a bit tall, I have to bend down.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Now, last time I interviewed you, there was an expensive candle burning next to us, right in your dressing room there. I know you always have that special candle. The pomegranate one.
Pomegranate Noir,
yeah.
Jo Malone.
Now, the only aroma in here now is some slightly minging plastic sheets.
What's the bin for?
Oh, that's just for show.
Yeah, it's more...
Explain the rules, Chris.
Well, it's quite simple. So we both just take some water in our mouths, and then if you find it funny, you'll spit the water out.
Can't wait.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with this game.
I've just watched some.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How are you feeling?
I feel good. I did just have some crisps.
Yes.
So I just had some chewing gum, so you don't
Oh, that's very
really,
ladylike.
That's really
That doesn't always happen, yeah. So, Bang Bang is a massive song.
Thank you so much.
Did you and Ariana and Nicki actually meet, or have you never met before? Did you actually get together to record it?
No, we didn't record it at the same time. We met for the first time when it was at number one on iTunes in the US at the music video on set.
Right.
So it was like
That's a bit
most,
weird, because like, we've
weird,
already made a song.
It was like a party.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the song, Max Martin sent it to me and was like, I'd love you to record this. And I was like, an honour.
Yeah.
So I went in the studio, changed some stuff, put my lyrics down, put my vocals down, and then he was like, Ariana wants to jump on it. This is a moment. You know, you should make this a moment. He said the song lends itself to that. So she jumped on the second verse, and then Nicki heard it once in the studio and was like, can I jump on this today? I love it.
I like
so
that.
So it wasn't like even people... like, we didn't even ask anybody. People just heard it and wanted to... So, I mean, we had to stop playing it to people, otherwise it would have been like...
Me too, please.
A 20, like... people performance, but yeah.
So how does it work? Max Martin, so I've learned about Max Martin. This is the guy that makes all the
legend.
Max is like amazing pop god. He's incredible.
And he'll just contact you and just say, I've got this song. You must
he basically said, I've got this song and you're the person I want to sing it. And that is like an honour in itself.
Yeah.
I want that phone call.
Yeah.
And then he also sent me the second single, Burning Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we co-wrote. So I'm like, it's wicked. Happy days.
Do you have to go to see him in Sweden?
No.
Lives in America now.
No, I don't.
No, he lives in America.
Oh, I thought you said I live in America. No, he lives in LA, yes.
Right, okay.
But I actually recorded this album with one person in 4.5 weeks, and I didn't meet any of the producers, any of the writers, apart from one set of writers for one song that flew to London. But I literally did this in such a different way.
Mm.
It was a very quick process and actually really worked for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, new album, when is it coming out?
13th of October.
Right, soon.
Very soon, like 3.5 weeks.
Yeah. What's Ariana like? Because you hear a lot of stories of her being a diva.
Not at all. She's the sweetest.
Is she?
So sweet. She's young and she's got a lot of pressure on her shoulders, you know. It's hard.
Mm.
I think people realise, until you live it, it's so easy for people to say stuff, but there's such a thin line between diva and survival. And sometimes when you're being expected to work 18-hour days and your food isn't ready, sometimes you have to put your foot down. And I don't mean that she did, I just mean in general. And so people can be like, she's a diva. It's like, no, I just need to stay sane and stay healthy. So I think she's amazing. She's hilarious. Hilarious. Like, had me in stitches, and it's hard. I'm one of those people that it's hard to make me laugh.
Genuinely.
Like, no, I'm fine. I'm just,
like, it's hard to make
someone
you laugh.
That actually makes me laugh.
Like, properly.
She properly cracked me up. And she sings all the time. She's wicked.
Yeah. Hey, they've just announced Rita Ora is the new coach on The Voice.
Yes, they have. Found out this morning.
Do you think that's a good move for her?
I think she's going to be super entertaining. I think anyone that's met her, she's a very charismatic person. So I think she'll be really fun for the show. But with regards to coaching, I think it's a personal... It's a personal thing, so I'm excited to see how she coaches.
Yeah. Do you miss your time on that show?
I do, yeah. I do miss it. I care so much about technique and breathing and like singing is my life. I dedicate so much of my life to making sure that I'm good enough to sing as much as I can and give everything in every show. So that's what I enjoyed giving the artists, because that's what they're on the show to find out.
Mm.
That's what they're on the show to learn. So I do miss that part of it, because I really love to like give. I'm a very like I like to help people in that nicest way of saying that. But no, I do miss it, and I miss Tom the most.
Really? Why Tom? Out of
he's
all of
so
them?
So sweet. Yeah. Tom is like the nicest person I think I've... One of the nicest people I've probably met in this industry.
Whoa.
Is it hard to... Has Rita got a bit of a job on her hands? Is it hard? Is it a lot of work?
It's very hard, because people are looking to you to guide them in probably one of the most important moments of their, excuse me, career.
Mm.
So it's very tiring, especially if she's going to be doing what I did, which is still working and doing stuff around it, which I'm sure she will, because she doesn't stop.
Yeah.
I never believed that that's really how it worked, though, that you do invest so much of your own personal time.
I was the first one there and the last one to leave. Obviously, the papers said differently. However, my contestants that never said a bad word knew that I cared. I used to bring my own suitcases of clothes for them because I didn't like the styling sometimes.
Did you?
Yes.
You just dress them up
yourself. Real. No, I was like, have these shoes, I've only worn them once. Like, genuinely.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, we'd share wigs when I wore wigs.
brilliant.
But no, I still talk to them now. I just spoke to Ash the other day and he was like, I invited him to iTunes. I always invite them to stuff and just like to see how they're doing. Vince is doing well. Matt's doing well. You know, he's about to put out an EP. So, yeah, it's important. Like, you have to invest time and you have to care. So I just hope that she's got time to give... time.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Jessie J's just been showing us her water trick. That's right, she can sing with water in her mouth.
Can we do it?
Yeah, do it again. It's actually amazing.
Oh, this water. Alright.
Okay, here we go.
She got a body that can hourglass, but I can give it to you all the time.
Oh. Yeah. I used to do this in auditions back in the day, but I discovered I could do it. Because I could never shut up as a kid. So even at the dinner table, my dad would say something, or I'd say something. Someone, I'd want to talk and I'd drink, so I'd teach myself.
But it's harder than it seems. Like,
how
I've just
to hold my water in my mouth and talk. My dad hates it when I do this. So
bang, 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 bang.
I look like Orville, the duck.
I mean, it's incredible to watch.
That little green duck.
Orville.
Bang, bang.
That's brilliant.
Ooh, yeah, 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 yeah.
There's quite a lot of water in there as well.
Yeah, isn't it?
It makes you have quite an intense face as well.
Yeah. Like a fish.
Yeah, face of fish. If you want to go online, it's you can see all this. bbc.co.uk/radio1. Jessie J is playing Innuendo Bingo today. Let's go. Remember, Chris, it's hard to make her laugh.
Okay.
We've got some cracking clips for you, all found by the listeners today. Here we go. Cameras are on.
Intense.
It's time to make another celebrity wet. This is Innuendo Bingo.
Okay.
Okay, good. So, this is a big moment.
Sorry. What are you doing?
I'm doing this intense eye contact.
Is this like your game face?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Jessie J.
All right.
We're going for it, is this
Jessie,
it?
Jessie J is about to play Innuendo Bingo. Okay, loads of water in your mouth, please.
Okay. No.
Fill your cheeks.
Shall we go for it?
Let's just go for it today, come on.
Let's do this.
It's once in a lifetime.
Here we go.
Okay, so first to Jamie Oliver's comfort food on Channel 4. And here, no hands, Jessie. If it's going to go over him. Jamie cannot wait to get going with what's in front of him on the Comfort Food Show.
And then we're good to go. Two lovely breasts by two lovely boys. Yeah.
Small bit of sprayage from Chris there. Nothing to worry about too much, though, Jesse, on the trousers.
Two lovely breasts by two lovely boys.
The two lovely boys were Jamie and his dad, of course, both both big fans of a pair of chicken breasts. Thank you, Chris, in Belfast. OK, time for a classic, I think, straight away. Let's go over to Sarah Cox on her old Radio 1 show. And as we join Sarah, she's disgusted at the state that she's let things get into.
It's just so horrible. It's like the worst start to the day ever. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk about my the hairy plug hole there.
That's
oh, dare you!
Right.
Wow.
It's on.
Okay, it's definitely on now. That's what we're after. That was brilliant. Oh, this is good. Okay, you need to watch this.
My eyelashes are going to come out.
It happens a lot.
It happens.
Watch this online right now. bbc.co.uk/radio1. This is incredible.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk about my the hairy plug hole.
Everyone hates shoving. Oh, oh God, and Jesse. It's gone again. Jesse's gone again. Jesse. Everyone hates shoving our fingers in the sink when it's like that, don't we? Awful. Okay, here we go. And okay.
Why?
Water, please. It's all right.
We'll keep
playing this song. It's all right. Over to a very important speech now by the head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde. Now, it was a very informative speech on how impressive things are in the developing world these days. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
In all regions of the world, actually, the fastest and deepest penetration is to be found in Africa and Asia.
Chris! Right, get him back.
The fastest and deepest penetration.
Yeah, good. Now, over to Friday's Good Morning Britain on ITV1. And in the middle of interviewing William Hague, John Stapleton cannot help but point out the obvious issue that has arisen. Here we go.
It is something the people will have to decide at the general election in May.
You've got a big job on.
Absolutely, as usual.
This is a proper battle.
You're just saying it on purpose.
You've got a big job on.
Oh, this is so childish.
You've got a big job on.
You've got a big job on.
You've got a big job on.
And we stay on the same show now, later that morning. And a very quick clip here of Lorraine Kelly. Water at the ready. Because...
What
happened there,
That's
Jesse?
That's ridiculous. Why Lorraine Kelly? What's she done to you?
Lorraine Kelly. Okay, we've lost her at Lorraine Kelly.
The stupidest things in my imagination make me laugh.
Okay. It's fine.
I won't tell you what I thought. Okay.
No, don't. So many people are watching this today for Jesse J. Okay, so Lorraine Kelly here, take your water, because she really seems to be enjoying the company of her current guests.
We're going to be talking lots more about how we can all come together.
Oh. Claire in Cardiff found those last two clips and emailed me at scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. If you see or hear a clip, do the same. I'm really enjoying this, I've got to say.
All over me.
You're doing really well, Jesse, because sometimes he comes off dry as a bone. Not today.
I'm literally soaked.
Yeah. Where are you most soaked right now?
My whole T-shirt is like soaking wet.
Yeah.
And my face, my hair, my eyes, my eyelashes.
It's quite refreshing though, right?
I've got makeup in my eyes.
And now to Fern Cotton.
Oh,
and as ever, Fern is incredibly enthusiastic about what's coming up on her show. Although, however keen you are, I don't think there's any need for this, Fern.
Now, today's prize is... This is so good that I'm almost tempted to enter myself.
Jesse's fine. It's so childish.
This is so good that I'm almost tempted to enter myself.
And now we go to a gardening show on BBC. Some more spurts from Jesse there. Get it out if you need to. Yes! Straight in the face, Jesse. That's good.
That's fine.
Now a gardening show. Gardening show on BBC Two. Now our listener Leanne just turned the channel over and this clip was the first thing she saw. She wasn't quite sure that this was supposed to end up on TV. Ready? Here we go.
The important thing is the length of this flange, this white part here. So would we need to remove
We'll do that once we take it up.
So there's...
Oh, you've plenty of room.
There's 15, so we've got nice length of... Look at the girth.
Look at the size of that, madam. That would help you,
look at
wouldn't
that.
It?
Just... Did I hear something snap?
They were growing... Apparently,
I'm trying to be nice.
Apparently, well, don't...
I'm trying to be nice, but I keep swallowing it and then nearly being sick.
Oh.
I'm trying not to swallow
it. Don't do that.
No. They were growing impressive carrots.
Look at the size of that, madam.
It's huge.
That would help you. Look.
Madam. Now over to John Motson. Not long
Why
ago.
Do you call a carrot, madam?
That's Murder, madam. No, I think he was talking to her, not the carrot.
Oh.
That's weird otherwise.
Excuse me.
John, I know it's cold. I'll get you a towel in a minute, love. Protect that voice. John Motson now, commentating on the weekend's football action for Match of the Day. And Motti, ever the professional, carries on describing the action, no matter what he sees in front of him.
Right onto the toe cap of Nathan Dyer, who's coming inside Azpilicueta.
Oh, Jessie.
Oh!
And finally,
so good
as Jessie J wrings out her shirt... Finally.
Can I have any paps outside? They're going to love this.
Oh, many cameras outside.
What story are they going to come up with?
Oh, it's all right. We'll just say that it's our fault. A classic clip now from BBC News and reporter here, Chris Eakin. Now, he's a very well-respected journalist. But you've got to wonder how he finds out details like this. Here we go.
Karen, you're just on the edge of the village. I know when I spoke to you, you had water in your back garden and up your driveway.
Well, that was wet. Wow.
You're wicked.
Okay, that's it. That was incredible. That was incredible. Jessie J, thank you so much for being on Innuendo Bingo today.
Thanks.
How do you feel?
Feel great.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel really great. Like, I've just had a shower at work.
You look fresh.
Yeah.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Mills here with 24 Years at the Tap End, Barley Edition.
Hello.
Coming up at 2:45. Is this a good idea?
I don't know. Let's bring it back. Let's see.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear the theme tune again. Loads of my Twitter's going off about Tap End today. So Chris has just been on the most exotic holiday of his life. He spread his wings. He finally flew. And you can hear about it on 24 Years at the Tap End. Little thing we used to do on the show. A very successful series, actually. That's coming up at 2:45. We'll give the Barley one a bash.
Do we need to explain what it is? It is quite who now?
Basically, if you listen to this show for a while, you'll know what it is. It's just stories from Chris's life.
It was because it was round about Christmas time and everyone had an autobiography out. And so you suggested I started doing some chapters of mine. So I gave it a go.
Mm.
And then we named it after the fact that it took me 24 years to realise that I've been sitting on the wrong side of the bath.
Yeah.
It's actually far more comfortable to sit... Not with your head against the taps.
Yeah, he was actually sitting at the tap end of the bath all his life. And until we told him, on this show we told you one day, that it's actually much more comfy to sit at the other end. And you didn't know that.
The slopey side.
Yeah, you didn't know that. So that's where the name comes from. It's just stories about his life. But to be honest, we've run out of stories. But now he's got new ones because he's had new experiences. So that's at 2:45 today.
How are you feeling? I mean, it's freshers time. Normally you're sort of... got a lot of freshers flu about you. Normally you get quite ill around this time.
I do, but I've not been mixing with freshers this year. Only on one occasion at the university in Northumbria last weekend where I was at. Apart from that, because I'm doing the Strictly dancings, I've not been able to visit the freshers this year, which I'm actually very upset about.
I've been out representing you.
No, I like it, thank you. Once again, we are the breakfast show for freshers up and down the UK. Good morning if you've just started uni and you are fully enjoying all the activities and the nights out and the new people that university has to offer, and therefore you only get up about this time. So there's a few people on already, actually, this today. Jay in Leeds has just woken up and put Radio 1 on. Good night last night, then. Alex is really late for his freshers' fair. Oh, freshers' fair.
Classic problems.
Yeah. Pounder, who's working on the show today... was so hungover for his freshers' fair that he completely missed it, and they had loads of free pizza vouchers. Didn't get them.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that.
No. And also Megan, who is at the University of Hertfordshire, which is one that I visit quite a lot down in Hatfield. Mm-hmm. Megan wants to send her love to her boyfriend, Robbie. It is Robbie. Yeah, Robbie, who is at uni in Nottingham and says that she's missing you a lot. Well, at the moment you are. That'll change.
Oh, what do you mean?
I say it every year. Like, they obviously won't be together in a few months, will they?
The problem
is... Don't go to university with a relationship. It won't last.
I don't think this is the nicest thing that you could say, or indeed the fairest thing, because you know what? People... It might last.
It won't.
You can't say that. You will...
I say it every year.
You
go to university single, because it's not going to happen. What's going to happen is eventually, it might for the first couple of weeks, it's all fine, and then you'll be texting them. They won't be texting back because they'll be out enjoying other people's company. But they're, like, you're kind of the last thing they're thinking about. And then you call them, it's like, hang on, my battery's about to go. Then you don't hear from them for about, for the next day.
No, you're really cynical. You didn't even go to uni.
No, I didn't. But I know, right.
You sound like you've been massively hurt by this kind of situation.
But what I'm saying is, and I get this every year, right? I get emails from people going, Scott, when you said go to university single, I thought you were being an idiot. I said that I would always stick with my girlfriend and she would always stick with me. And then I get them going, but you were right. And now we're not together anymore. And I should have gone to university single and I should have listened to you. Even though at the time they were really annoyed about what I was saying, it's the right thing to do.
I see. So you're going to get a load of abuse now, of course, because of what you're saying. But then in March, you'll get a load of apologies.
Yeah,
that's your theory.
Being with my girlfriend 2 years, she spent the last few months at university. Everything's fine. Well, is it though? Just saying.
Oh, people aren't happy.
No, they're not. No. But it's like this happens every year. And eventually you will see that I am talking sense. not right now, because you're in it. But everything's fine.
You're not right about everything, Scott.
No, I'm right about this, though. Just got up and I'm in sixth form. Thank goodness I've got a day off. Massive school reunion last night. Not in a relationship. Well, good, because it was not going to last. Okay, it's 2:20 on BBC Radio 1. Ben Howard was in the... What are people saying?
No, there's a load of tech. You're getting quite a lot of abuse, so I'm obviously not going to read that. But then,
I'm used to it.
Also, loads of people who thought 24 years at the tap end meant a beer pump. A lot of people learning for the first time what it actually meant.
No, that's not true. Like, why would you think it was about a beer pump?
Well, I guess because of a beer tap. I don't know.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
I'm really pleased that Chris has had a two-week break and has taken the time to write this brand new tap end story for us in a minute. I'm excited about this. It's been ages since tap end's been on. What, a year? Must be at least.
It is weird bringing it back just for one thing.
People are so up for it, though. Dan on Twitter, also Gary, John in Essex, and Matt in Middlesbrough. Loads of people really excited to hear the story about your travels to the furthest place you've been on Earth. Mm. I mean, before that, was it Ayanapa?
Where would the last one? It might have been Falaraki.
Yeah, Falaraki, okay. Some people actually live in Bali have been on as well on our Twitter today. Fenner, excited for the Tap End Bali edition because I live here.
Incredible.
Yeah. Rebecca's been on. Everyone's Bali story is different. Excited to hear Chris's. You've got not long to wait now, really, because it's going to be on in a minute. Do you remember how to do this? I think occasionally, you just read out the story and I occasionally jump in with something a bit sarcastic.
Need a decent keen at the beginning as well.
Oh, right, okay, let's have a think.
Right. On the tap and vibe.
Yeah. Okay, wait there. And the theme tune, I'm looking forward to hearing again.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
People are now delaying what they're doing in their day of what they've got to do next. Like, just people sitting in cars, people late for meetings because they want to hear this new tap end. Pressure.
Respect.
Catfish in the Bottom End and Fallout. This is a bit weird, but theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
I'm not sure the theme tune's aged well.
It sounds quite off its time now, doesn't it? It's a bit like the Friends theme.
Yeah. I think you had to be there at the time.
So we're all agreed this is a good idea then, are we? We're going to do this.
It's a bit like some Christmas episodes, though. There's a lot of anticipation for this, and sometimes they're not very good.
Maybe, but why are we doing this? I mean, it isn't Christmas. There's no particular reason we're doing this as a special. It's a random special. I'm not sure I agree with it.
Let's hear about Chris's holiday to Bali. It's opened up his eyes, it's given him a lot of new experiences, and made him write another 24 years at the tap end. I am so excited for this, I need a Kleenex tissue.
I'm keen of the swingers, the jungle VIP. I'd like to take you to last week at the tap end.
Right, okay.
The last couple of weeks at the tap end.
Feels very weird.
Really current.
Weird doing this, doesn't it?
All quite weird.
Okay, so I am ready.
And I'm ready. Everything in my life was generally going well. Against the expectations of most people, I was continuing to hold down a job on the Scott Mills Show on BBC Radio 1. I was really slowly blossoming in looks, and I had successfully secured a girlfriend.
Who says you're blossoming in looks?
I do feel that when I look at pictures of myself from when I was younger, as in only a couple of years ago, I am improving. I am going to be one of those that hits 50 or 60 and I'm at peak.
Like Paul Hollywood?
Like Paul Hollywood, Philip Schofield, right. People who get better with age.
Mm.
In fact, as a group of mates, we were all doing well and I was proud of them all. It was a bit like one of the later American Pie movies where it was quite weird seeing them growing up. Sir Dosser was holding down a job, Chango the Beast had bought a flat, and the convict had stayed out of trouble long enough that technically he was the convict no more.
God, things have really changed, haven't they?
I feel kind of awkward about this tapping because for me this is like watching American Pie the Reunion. It's not as good as the original.
Is this like American Pie 6?
Hmm, it's feeling like that, isn't it?
With none of the original cast in.
I mean, the original cast are there, but they're all doing grown-up things, you know. It's very different to the Cavos times, the Malia times. The lads were beginning to spread their wings. Chazza and Cantona had gone on a trip across America together. I should point out for this, there's nothing dodgy. I mean, our group relationship is very much the same. We're all just friends.
Yeah, I know.
So Chazza and Cantona haven't been getting off with each other.
Well, I've never suggested that.
No, I know, but I just...
No one even thought about that.
No, but when I said a trip across America, it did sound a little bit... You know.
Brokeback.
Yes.
No, it's not that.
Yeah.
No one thought that. It's just in your head.
Although, I did hear a story that one night they get caught up, because apparently the Americans are
it's always
far,
one
more,
night,
far
isn't
more
it?
Liberal, but there was a night in somewhere close to California, I believe, where they faced a situation where they both had to see each other naked.
Oh, why?
And they don't really speak about it anymore. I heard from another friend that that had happened.
But why did they?
I can't say.
Oh.
Everyone was booking holidays for new reasons, to relax or to explore new lands. I knew it was about time I should venture away, and however anxious I was to holiday in unfamiliar lands, I booked a holiday with my girlfriend to the other side of the world. I was going to Bali. I didn't have a clue what it was going to be like. Would it have a similar vibe to the hustle and bustle of Cavos? Or have slightly more class to it, like Zante? My girlfriend wouldn't let me make shirts for the trip, and it felt strange being in an airport in normal clothes. I thought it would be a nice thing to do as a couple, to go out in shirts.
What, like you used to do with the lads?
Yeah. Like, make a real proper holiday of it. But she thought that wasn't the done thing.
It's not that kind of holiday.
And also, I couldn't think of a decent slogan that would be appropriate.
No.
Because it wasn't a lad's holiday.
It's not really for a couple's holiday shirts.
No.
She was right. I understand why she said that.
The flight was proper long, but one of the greatest experiences of my life. This was an incredible start to my holiday. For 13 hours, I watched films, and as drinks were included in the price, I got right involved. I also read somewhere it might help beat jet lag.
Who told you that?
Will go. I just read it somewhere.
No,
it
says
the best way to deal with a long-haul flight...
is get drunk.
Yes.
No, it's not. That's not true. They always tell you to drink a lot of water, stay hydrated, and don't drink much alcohol at all.
It was a bit of a weird one, though, because they sort of enforced an airline rule on me, which was they decided when I was going to go to sleep. Because of the time difference and stuff like that. So I was on the plane, and about an hour into the flight,
they
even though it was
off.
About 10 o'clock at night, I was eating breakfast.
That's what happens.
I was like, don't try and make me... Like, don't pretend that this is breakfast time. It's not breakfast time.
And also what they do is, like, it might be still, like, 4 p.m. at home, but because
where you are in the sky, it's nighttime. Mm. They will just turn the lights off.
Yeah.
And then you have to put the reading light on.
And you're just expected to adapt like that.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
It's like, I'm not a child. Don't put me to bed. First stop on my Bali holiday was a place called Ubud. This was the real deal. Rice farmers working in the fields and stray dogs on the streets. The place was chaos, mopeds everywhere, and what seemed like no order or system of traffic. Travelling around was terrifying. The hotel I was staying in was in the middle of what looked like a jungle, and there were actual lizards in the room. I felt a bit like Bear Grylls in this environment.
Oh my God, are you serious?
But wanted to be careful. Having read up before I left, I felt it wise to take the following preventative measures. I really didn't want to get ill. Antibacterial hand gel. Mosquito netting. Mosquito repellent cream. Electronic mosquito repellent plugs, one in each socket. All over factor 50. Large hat including flap. Loose-fitting trousers. Socks for bed. Umbrella. Water purification tablets. And Dioralite. On the second day, I got a cold. It really annoys me, actually, because I spent so much money. These things aren't cheap. To protect yourself when you go on holiday, it's not cheap.
No.
Right? And I went all out with it. So it does kind of annoy me that in the hottest place I've probably ever been, I was ill.
You got a cold.
Like, you almost feel like you should get a refund. Like, Bali should refund me for that.
Did you take any cold and flu tablets with you?
I didn't, actually, no. I didn't think... I mean, I genuinely didn't think I'd get a cold.
But at least you were protected from mosquitoes.
I knew I had to venture out at some point and so reluctantly agreed to visit a monkey sanctuary. The main reason I wanted to go was to get a picture of me and a monkey, to be able to show people that I was getting involved. But the place was chaos. It was similar to something off Tomb Raider, with temples overrun by monkeys. Do you remember Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a who now.
Possibly, yeah.
These were bold monkeys in the sanctuary. They would do anything for a banana. They would jump on you and
anything?
Pretty much. Mm. That's all they accepted, bananas. As soon as you got a banana out, they went crazy for it.
They love them. I know.
They genuinely, that's not a joke. That's not a cliche.
Did you not know?
Monkeys love bananas.
I know that, yeah. Monkeys do like bananas. It's not a shock to me, that.
They would jump on you and rob anything they can. There was no communicating or reasoning with them. So it wasn't long before I left. I did get a picture, though.
I know, I saw it.
Nights out were great in Bali. Beers were cheap. My favourite nights out were in a place called Seminyak. For one night, to shake things up a bit, I decided to book a boat party. I was told it would involve traditional Balinese entertainment. I'm not sure how to pronounce that word.
Balinese.
I was told it would involve traditional...
You're saying it Bolognese.
Balinese entertainment.
Yeah.
Large parts of the night are hazy, but I woke up with a picture of me and what looked like two topless tribal chiefs dancing.
Oh, you sent me that one.
Mm.
Who were those boys?
I'm still not sure.
That they look like they're friendly with you.
Not at all. There was nothing like that.
You don't remember?
No, they were just. We had a couple of drinks.
You said it was hazy.
This was what travelling was all about. I was having great nights out and cultural experiences in the day. I was meeting fascinating people and I was slowly tanning.
You weren't really tanning, were you? Look at you.
How harsh.
There's hardly anything there. What factor were you putting on, please?
50. And then towards the end of the holiday, moved down to 30 just to get it right.
50 sunblock.
No. You know,
50 is sunblock.
Anyway.
It is. Right, I'm enjoying this. Is it about to get even better?
Definitely.
Okay, we'll play a song, Jesse Ware, and then back to 24 Years at the Tap End on Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Thanks for your reactions to our first Tap End for a while. We've got Laurel, who's working at Royal Holloway University, currently doing enrolment for the freshers. They're playing Radio 1 out, and they all love a bit of Tap End. Also, Alan's loving it. Charlotte in Edinburgh. Charlotte rushed for a job interview to get back to her car in time. Okay, let's continue with the Bali story.
Perhaps my most reflective moment came on the beach, about a week and a half into the holiday. I was offered a massage and was taken to a bed on the seafront. I'm sure you'll be interested at this point, Mills. You love a massage.
I do, actually.
And, of course, I had my first ever massage with you in Kavos.
In Kavos, yeah.
So, for me, it's a really weird moment, this. You know, I'm on holiday. I've chosen to have a massage. You've not just nominated me to have one. I've decided... Yeah, I am going to go and have this massage for myself.
I'm really pleased about that, actually. I'm quite proud of you.
Without you being there?
Yeah, it's really good.
should point out as well, this bed on the seafront, it was an odd one because I expected to then be taken to the local hotel to be dealt with.
Yes.
That wasn't the case. What happened is I was led to, you know, it was like a table, like almost like I was about to be given as an offering. It was odd. It was right. It was like a dinner table.
Right, by the sea.
Yeah. The masseur held up a towel for privacy and indicated that I should remove my swim shorts. Oh. I was reluctant to do this and explained in broken English that I was wearing no pants. I did it in broken English to try and...
What, like me?
Yes, I was No pants.
No.
And gestured.
Well, they don't know that how scarred you were from the previous time you had a massage in Cavos,
I know,
do they?
And I didn't want to make any mistakes, no. So I just wanted to make it clear that if the swim shorts go, there's nothing under there.
Yeah. And did she understand that? Being Bolognese?
I was in full view of sunbathers on the beach, but did as instructed. This was a Balinese massage, I assumed, and I did not want to cause any disrespect. As I removed my shorts, the sea air gently tickled my cheeks, and although no one on the beach could see due to the towel, the masseur had seen everything.
Mm. They're used to it there, though.
She didn't comment.
No, they don't comment. Well, what are they going to say? That's all right.
Technically, I was stood naked on a beach in Bali, and it felt like I was truly connecting with nature. I lay down on my front. The Balinese massage was more thorough than I've ever experienced.
Did she stand on you?
At one point, she had both knees on me.
Yeah, that's normal.
I was tense, but the sound of the waves against the shore was a beautiful and relaxing thing. It was an incredible experience. At one point, the masseur's thumbs brushed upwards towards an area I was unsure they were meant to. I felt slightly uncomfortable. She kneaded my posterior, like Paul Hollywood needs a firm dough. And then she once again got close. A second brushing in the region suggested that it was intentional and that this was fine.
Oh. On the beach?
Yeah. It was simply a more thorough massage than I'd ever experienced. As the sound of the waves lapped the shore and a stranger's hands yet again delved perilously close, I suddenly became reflective. My first thought was of Scott Mills.
Oh.
Oh, no, that's not how it's meant. It's not meant to sound like that. What? Back in London, and that's it. My first thought was of Scott Mills back in London.
All right.
And the amazing times I was having on Radio 1. I thought of my friends back home and how we were all growing up. It was bold of me to have gone to Bali, but it was right that I spread my wings. That masseur was helping me find myself, perhaps teaching me a valuable lesson. Live your life to the full, take things right to the edge, and enjoy the crack.
Was that it?
Yeah. It was a really kind of strong moment. It was like, you don't have to hold back anymore.
Mm.
Live your life to the full.
Spread your wings.
Spread your wings.
And you did.
Yeah.
Didn't you? Oh, I actually really enjoyed that.
Did you?
Yeah, I really did. Thank you.
It was a really good couple of weeks, and I don't know where I'm going to go away next, or if indeed if I will go away somewhere next. But I think this is going to be the first of a lot of travels.
I think you've broken the seal now. I think you're going to be like a traveller now.
Right.
Definitely up for new experiences. Thanks very much for that. I enjoyed it.
I enjoy sharing it with you.
Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Some people that are about to go to Bali, including Immy and Miles, on text, absolutely loving hearing the story. Bali's their first stop on their holiday next week. It's making them so excited.
I just, I appreciate that people enjoy my adventures.
Yeah. Will you be getting dreadlocks on your next trip? That's from Michael in Worcester.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if there will be a next time. That's the thing. Do you think there should be?
Yes.
There should be.
What, you mean you won't go travelling again?
I don't know.
You have to.
I've travelled.
You need to get cornrows.
It's done now. I've travelled.
No, 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 it's not done. Robin Norwich. Chris loved it. Also, someone saying, banter is on form today. Love Tap End. So excited to hear Charlie Sloth on Fat Tuesday. Yeah, I know, there's loads going on today.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Remember, before you went away, you said something that you were making a documentary?
Oh, yes.
Is this actually happening?
Yeah, no, this is on.
On Radio 1?
Yes, my first ever one.
When?
Well, it's going to come out in a couple of weeks. 2 weeks tonight. What? Tuesday, 7th of October. It's actually confirmed.
They've actually commissioned this to be on the air?
Yes, sir.
But why?
Why do you kind of, you seem dubious about this.
I'm just a bit confused because you never mention it. So it's about lad points.
Yes.
What, okay.
Well, no.
What are lad points?
Well, think of me as an investigator into hard-hitting topics. The correspondent, if you will, a BBC correspondent. I'm investigating lad points. Like what they are and how you get them and what people do to get them.
Who have you been talking to, then?
I've been talking to all sorts. I've even managed to find some farmers that I went to go talk to about it.
Right, what is it with you and farmers? You're always with farmers now.
I love young farmers, like, and their whole association. I think they're amazing.
Okay, so this is a clip of someone that you've asked about lad points.
Yeah, what they thought they needed to do to get lad points.
Well, I drive tractors for a living. I just try to show off with the others to gain the lad points. Well, I just love putting aerials on things and more flashing lights. More flashing lights, the better.
Okay, so he's obtained lad points through the number of flashing lights and aerials he's got on his tractor.
Yeah, I know. It seems to really vary between different groups of lads.
Okay. Who's the ultimate lad?
I asked this one guy who he thought the ultimate lad was. It's turning up surprising results, this.
I'm a big Made in Chelsea fan, so I think it's got to be Spencer Matthews. He's just a complete lad. I don't think anybody can match him. But I don't think most of us here have got his sort of wallet.
Have you just spoken to this one farmer and that's the whole documentary?
I admit I've got a lot more to do. And right.
It's only 2 weeks.
I know, I really should crack on with this.
Right, okay.
But anyway, it's an investigation into lad points.
Right, so it's on the Tuesday. I've just seen it on the schedule, it's on.
It's on.
Tuesday the 7th of October, you've spoken to one young farmer at some club by the sounds of it.
Okay, there's more to do, I'm working on it.
Okay, we'll get that finished then.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Big Man Ting.
Ah! Yeah! Sit, cuz.
Hello, cuz.
How are you, fam?
I'm all right, thank you very much. How are you?
You're looking really skinny there, Fred.
Don't call me Fred, please.
Freddy, sorry.
Hey, can you fit your whole fist in your gob?
Nope.
Actually, don't try, you'll eat it.
Yep. So rude. So rude.
Ella Henderson can. Charlie Sloth's here, everyone. How's it going, fam?
I'm good, cuz. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. You still working hard?
I'm working hard, fam.
Freshers and that.
No. I was tearing out the spot last night in Nottingham.
Oh, where Nottingham. Yeah, Nottingham.
I was a surprise guest. They didn't know I was coming.
Nottingham.
I walked in, they went bananas. No. There's the... It was mad, actually.
It's hard for you to surprise someone, isn't it?
It's so rude.
Can't really hide, can you?
That is. I mean, what with the fattest jokes? I've just got in here. I thought it was going to be friendly and, you know, keep it PG.
What did they do? Do they sort of... I mean, what's the surprise element? You just got lowered in?
Mm. Is it like a zip wire, like Anne Widdecombe on Strictly?
Zip wire,
no,
imagine.
They was just like, and now your surprise DJ, Charlie Sloth.
Is everyone like,
Anyway, how's Strictly going, Fred?
Oh, man, it's hard, but I'm loving every minute of it.
You are looking really trim, homie. Like, your face is caved in. Cheekbones. Cheekbones look massive.
Are you sure?
Yeah, cuz.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't get to see you every day. Right. So when I do get to see you, I can notice all the differences.
Okay, fair enough.
You don't look tanned enough for it.
Yeah. Oh, wait till, what's the day? Wait till Thursday, mate.
They're spraying you up.
Da-da-da. I'm going in the tent.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, I am.
I'm Charlie, very quickly. Spray tent. I've been away for 2 weeks. Yeah. What's this Fred thing that you're doing here?
What is there?
Right, so famous why is he Fred?
Oh,
because of the dancing.
Dancing yeah. Thing, got it.
He's good
got
at it as well.
Yeah. You've just been knighted, I saw, as well.
Yeah, I've just been knighted downstairs. Several members of the royal family came back from the future, back from the past, rather, and knighted, man. Sir Charlie Sloth, the people's prince, Dunlop, big man.
Did you buy that on the internet?
No, didn't.
Why were they downstairs?
I don't know. They were just like, wait, you're Charlie Sloth, right? And I was like, yep. I was like, who are you? He's like, I'm King Arthur the Second.
What are you on about?
I don't know. Because that's what he said to me. Look at the picture. It's on Instagram. And he just knighted me there and then downstairs. I was like, whoa, okay.
That's easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is Charlie Slough on Real or No Real. I need to talk to you about Hip Hop Mastermind in a minute.
Yeah.
But first, these facts, real or not.
The Security Industry Authority, or SIA for short, which licenses club and pub doormen in the UK, has more followers on Twitter than SIA the pop star.
That's awkward.
Well, that is awkward if it's true.
Awkward.
But then it's probably because lots of people want to follow the singer. That would be the natural thing. But they had the Twitter account before, maybe, if that's true. That's if that's true.
Do you think Sia, the singer, would have many followers on Twitter?
Who's Sia?
Oh, Sia, God. Oh, God, Sia.
She's on Titanium.
Yeah.
David Guetta.
Chandelier.
Oh,
She wants to swing from the chandelier. Do you play that one on One Extra?
Nope.
Sia. Yeah, Sia. Yeah, she's good.
Sia.
She's got a beautiful, powerful voice when she sings.
Okay.
When she speaks like that, mate.
She speaks like that.
Yeah, she proper Aussie.
Am I right in thinking she did Hey, I Heard You Were a Wild One? That one.
Yeah, that's her as well.
Yeah, that's her. You know that one.
Yeah, I know that
you
one.
You know that one, Flo.
Yeah, I know that one.
Your mate, Flo. So, do Sia, who were the
Security Industry Authority,
do they have more Twitter followers than Sia, who is a
pop star?
Yes.
I think it might have happened by accident. I'm going to say real.
I'm going to say no real, fam.
That one is no real.
No, of course not. She's very popular. And next,
the former Fulham Football Club manager, Felix McGough, used to order his players to cure thigh injuries by rubbing cheese into them.
That's a weird one.
That is weird.
Now I'm expecting to get all sorts of dance-related injuries over the next few weeks.
Have you had any yet?
No.
Are you beefing with your dance partner yet?
No, I'm not. What do you mean, am I beefing her? Absolutely not.
It means arguing.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of show, what it sometimes is. Arguing, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. No, she's actually lovely.
Not yet.
Not yet, no.
It's going to happen, though, isn't it, Chris?
It's early days. We're spending a lot of time together right now.
You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your dance partners.
Me and Joanne. No, we're having dinner tomorrow, actually.
Oh, are you?
Yes, we're
really?
Doing social things.
It's getting quite intimate.
You're forcing it, aren't you?
When you're dancing like that, sometimes it's going to get intimate. Do you know what I'm saying?
Have you had any awkward moments?
earlier today, yes.
What happened?
I know.
Well,
not on purpose.
Mistakes will be made in the early rounds.
Of course.
Whoa.
So, did the former Fulham Football Club manager, Felix McGough, used to order his players to cure thigh injuries by rubbing cheese into them? If this is real, I'm going to take this as Strictly.
Surely no real.
I'm going to say real for this because he was a bit of a weird lad, wasn't he? Can I say that?
Was he? I don't know who he is.
Don't even know who he is either. I'm just
finding out. Oh, you don't know either?
No.
No real.
Do you know who he is?
I'm going to say real.
That one is real.
Don't know. Man's cheesy.
My new favourite thing that you say.
What's that?
Man's cheesy.
Again.
I can't do it again. It won't work.
The cheese was supposed to be soaked in alcohol and rubbed against the thigh overnight. He's no longer Fulham manager.
I wonder
enough.
Why, yeah.
And next.
On the morning after he presented the Mastermind Hip Hop special, John Humphreys presented Radio 4's Today programme and was heard calling the BBC's economics correspondent, Cuz.
So, you know Mastermind on the telly with John Humphreys?
Yep.
So tonight, on your show,
yep.
John Humphreys is in conversation with you on One Extra.
Yeah.
And you've made a Mastermind song.
We made a rap record together.
No way.
Yeah, we went back to back. He was dropping bars. He's actually quite funny. He was like, you're a really, really adorable chap.
And is this
actually,
a lie?
No, it's a true story. He's like, you're a really, really adorable chap. You're actually very cuddly. I would give you a cuddle if my hands would fit around you. That's what he said to me.
This is true. So we hear this today?
Yeah, today.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah. So if you want to watch it, Hip Hop Mastermind is available now on the BBC iPlayer. John Humphreys, off of Actual Mastermind, asks questions to Lethal Bizzle, DJ Target, A-Dot and DJ Semtex as they battle it out to be Hip Hop Mastermind.
Yeah.
It's on the BBC iPlayer or visit the One Extra homepage.
He called Bizzle a dense sausage.
This is going to be epic.
Oh my God, I need to watch this.
This is going
to
be so good.
Yeah.
And John Humphreys is on your show tonight.
He's on my show. We're doing a rap record back to back. Doing the damn thing, bar for bar.
I don't know whether I believe you.
No, it's true. He went in, he was like, I want to do a record of you, you're really cool.
People are nodding. I think this is actually true.
No, it's true. He was like, my son's one of your biggest fans. He listens to your show every Saturday night on Radio 1.
So, rub off, though? After he presented the Mastermind Hip Hop Special, did John Humphreys present the Radio 4 Today programme the next day and was heard saying to the BBC economics correspondent, cuz...
I'm going to say real.
I'm going to say real as well, because when he greeted me, he was like, what's up, fam, you good?
No, he didn't.
No, he really did.
He didn't call you fam.
He was like, what's up, fam, you good?
Don't be ridiculous.
And spudded me as well. Spudded me,
he
like...
He did what to you?
Spudded me.
He spudded you?
Yeah.
Is that one?
Yeah.
Real or no real?
Real.
Real.
That one is no real.
Of course he didn't. John Humphreys wouldn't say
no,
cuz.
I've had a bad one. Chris? I was so excited for Fat Tuesday today as well. Yeah. It's been a really fun show and I've let myself down. I got nothing.
What did I get?
Nothing. Charlie got 20.
Oh my gosh! And Slothpod's available as well. It's free. Go and download it. It's my podcast. It features you guys every week.
Yeah, we're on it.
I find that iffy, that.
What do you mean?
That parts of your podcast are basically this show.
No, because this is one of the highlights of my week.
It's one of the highlights of his life.
What do you mean my life? I wouldn't go that far. Well, I live a pretty good life, fam.
Yeah. How is your TV? Is it all right?
What do you mean?
Your 60-inch or whatever
it is. No, I don't really use that no more. I've got like a cinema room.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, we could buy it. I was going to put it up for sale.
What, you want me to buy your 60-inch?
It's not 60-inch, guys. It's 102, but...
Charlie Stoff's on One Extra at 4.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Those were the best bits of Tuesday's show. Tomorrow and the rest of this week and next week is Dev in for me on Radio 1 as I attempt to do some dancing on Strictly on BBC One. Look after Dev. I'll see you soon.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio.